Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Corinthians. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Why don't you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 as we pick up in verse 20 this morning. Now, we have been discussing the gifts of the Spirit as we started out in chapter 12 a few weeks ago, and have kind of been moving through this, trying to grasp a fairly balanced understanding. I hope that's what we're grasping out of it. That would be my desire, is to convey a fairly balanced understanding of how God might desire to move in and through our lives as believers in a fairly simple but clear way, and yet very dynamic way, through the gifts of His Spirit. And so now we've kind of gone through several aspects of it, and we're kind of wrapping up this portion of this morning, beginning with verse 20. And you know, as Paul has been kind of conveying to the Corinthian church, who he spent quite a bit of time with. He spent 18 months with them, sharing the scriptures, going through the word, just expounding through some of the simple truths of the Christian life. And even still, as this group, began to grow and develop, and I would say that though they probably had gatherings similar to ours, I think a lot of their gatherings were most likely in more of a house setting, so it's very likely that that was the case. Though they probably had some gatherings like this, they were by and large in a smaller group setting, and so it's kind of interesting when you go through this, you can watch as it kind of bounces from, oh, this would work in a small group setting, oh, that wouldn't work in a larger group setting, and you can start seeing how he might be expressing that. I think we're going to see that this morning in this small portion of Scripture that we'll cover. For those of us here, we know that a small portion of Scripture to cover on a Sunday morning is about 20 verses. I know that's not the case everywhere, but that's where we're at. Sometimes we cover a little bit more ground than that, but this morning we're going to cover about 20 verses. So this idea here, as they get started, knowing that that group is a group that is certainly zealous for the gifts, operates in the gifts, functions, in the power and the anointing and the authority of the Spirit, but yet can sometimes get a little bit skewed in how they're approaching some of this. And he says in verse 20, "Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature." He says, man, have a right perspective. It was easy for them, remember, to kind of shift out of what was a balanced work and move of God. It was easy for them to kind of transition out of that and fall prey to something that was just more self-serving. So the gifts aren't necessarily specifically for self-serving, which sometimes is what happens. People do things and want to be perceived as spiritual, so they begin to exercise their gifts in a way that would project themselves so that other people may see them as being spiritual instead of really using them for the edification, for the building up of the whole of the group. Now, I know that specifically we're going to be talking about tongues this morning and prophecy and some things, but it's not just that. It's whatever the gift that God's given you isn't just for you. I mean, it's great to be used by the Lord, isn't it? It's wonderful. It's a great sense to have God just not only live within us, but actually flow through us is a great, wonderful experience. We all, as believers, many of us know those just wonderful times that we can kind of look back and just say, oh, man, I know there's this time that I was talking or sharing with somebody and it really had an impact on their life. And you know that it wasn't something that you were thinking about so much as it was just God moving through you. And so that's the idea. He says, hey, don't be children in understanding. Understand that the real significance of the use and the operation of the gifts and those and the power of God flowing through you is not for you just to build you up personally, but it's that it might be edifying, might build others up. And that's the focus, that's the theme. He's been consistent in trying to say that. Now he says, however, in malice be babes. Having evil intent or anything like that. but in understanding, develop and have maturity. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people, and yet for all that, they will not hear me. The Assyrians, Isaiah chapter 28, the Assyrians, foreign dialect. As you go back and look at that chapter, God is using them to judge the nation Israel. And they did not get it. They didn't hear what God was trying to convey to them. They would not hear it. They didn't grasp it. And therefore, he says, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. Now, when we first read through this, we're going to clarify some of this as we go through. But prophecy is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. And he kind of bounces back and forth to something that we just got to try and grasp what he's trying to say here. Therefore, he says, because of that, if the whole church, so the whole group gets together, comes together in one place. So this is not just a house church setting, right? This is the whole group gets together and they're hanging out together in one place and all speak with tongues and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers. What is the sign? What is it that happens to them? Now, any of you who maybe have ever been in a situation like this, or if you can just kind of transfer yourself into that circumstance of what that might be like for someone and how uncomfortable someone might be and how weirded out they might be, I'm just going to say it because I think that's what happens. People just get flat out weirded out. I'm telling you, even just going through these topics, people get weirded out. And I understand that, but we got to just, man, let God be God. Everything's okay. We just take a deep breath. This is not as weird as it all sounds because we talked about a lot of this. We talked about that tongues is an expression to God. So it's something that is a gift given to us where we're able to express to the Lord in something that's not tangible to our minds that we fully grasp, but we're able to express our hearts. And this, it's God word. It's not necessarily for other people around. It's just us expressing our heart before the Lord, as the Lord would give utterance through the Spirit. It says, if those that are uninformed, they come in, this is a sign. What is the sign? They will they not say that you are out of your mind? So I think this idea then of the concept, if you were... which our fellowship is, if we're willing and comfortable with having guests come in, and some of you, God bless you, thank you for coming today, if this is your first visit with us. The idea here is that it's not going to weird people out and turn them off to the things of God. It's not that the people's utterance is wrong or bad. It's just not necessarily the right place. Now, break this down. Let's say it's not the whole church, and let's say it's just in a house gathering or something, and there's 8 or 10 people getting together, and they're talking with one another, and it's predominantly a group of believers, and then he goes on and we'll get an explanation of what that might be like, what that gathering might be like. I've been in, at our pastor's conferences, we have times where it's open prayer, open time of the operation of the gifts, if you're willing just to use that simple term. We have times where it's open like that, but it's 800, maybe 1,000 guys, all pastors, so you can just imagine everybody's got something to say, huh? That's a lot of people, and it's a big auditorium. And it's hard to say amen when somebody said something across the way. I mean, you got to hope they got really astral projection voice, because it's hard to even hear with that size of an auditorium. But, it's edifying, but we're all familiar with what's going on, with what everybody's, how things are playing out. And when someone gets up and shares something, we're familiar with what is happening in our environment. Now, if someone were just to step into that, that would seem kind of, maybe really odd. Now, when there's a prophecy given, notice in verse 24, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever, an uninformed person comes in, he is convicted by all. He is convinced by all. He is convicted by all. So the things that are said, now you remember In verse 3 of chapter 14, it says, but he who prophesies speaks what? Edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. So it's to build up, encouragement, and console, or to strengthen. And so those things that are being said might also reveal those things that are happening in their lives. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. In other words, which is going to be better in the situation? You know, a lot of times when we teach through the word, those three elements are taking place when we teach through the word. And so a lot of times when you think about it and you go through it in this way, you realize, well, it's going to be much more valuable as we go through that it's going to benefit anyone and everyone who comes. And then in a smaller group setting, it might be a little bit different how that might play out. I don't find for me, you read through this, you can find there's a lot of different perspectives. There's a lot of things. I don't get real hung up on all this personally. I'm relatively comfortable in a setting where there's a different approaches to some of this, but I don't want to do that as my general function in a gathering because I want to do what's going to be most beneficial for the mass, for everybody involved or everybody around, everybody engaged in it. I think Paul gives us a really balanced statement here so that an unbeliever in this specific setting comes in, and if everybody is using their prayer language, for example, a lot of people are just like, what? It makes no sense. It just seems kind of odd or kind of, you know, how is somebody going to connect with God in that necessarily? Now, does that mean that it doesn't happen? No. I can show you scriptural things where that does happen. Acts chapter 2, for example, specifically. And what did they hear? They heard men glorifying God in their own language. And there was massive salvation. So you can see that there is this place, there is that circumstance where God might just pour out his spirit in a certain way. But that was not to be the everyday setting of the gatherings of the body. So Paul's just kind of laying that out for us so we can see this. Let's go on in verse 26 and look at this a little bit more closely. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. Again, you get a certain size group and everybody comes in and brings all this stuff. It's not, you just got to calm down a little bit. We don't always have the ability to have that interactive thing going that you do in 8 or 10 people, right? It can be so much more interactive, can it, when you're sitting there with a small group and everybody comes and says, hey, the Lord really spoke to me this week. This is why we have a hospitality table. This is why we try to have as much opportunity for fellowship as possible, because these very things happen in a different dynamic. When people get to share, hey, this is what's been going on this week. This is what I've been struggling with. Wow, really? Hey, this is what I'm doing. If you get up and lickety-split and get out of here, you're going to miss all of that, and you're not going to be able to be bringing that to other people either. It's really important that there's a dynamic that takes place, that you avail yourself to that so that you can be used by God for interaction, because God wants to move in and through your life, and that God can do things from somebody else into your life. It's mutual edification, mutual benefit. So important. It's an important dynamic. Now, I have no ability to enforce that. I can't force that issue, and nor do I want to. I want you to be comfortable and to come and go as you desire, absolutely. But I do think that it's very important if you want to maximize the benefit and really enjoy what's been provided, I want you to have understanding why it's being provided that way. Though I can't enforce that. I would if I could, but I can't. Because it's so much benefit. Because a lot of times people have this sense and they verbalize, well, I'm just not sure. I feel kind of marginalized, or I don't know that I'm really getting to know anybody. Well, what effort are you putting into that? It's a two-way street, you see. And it's important for us to work together, isn't it? To make that take place. That's a dynamic that we all work together toward and to develop relationship. So Let all things be done for what? Edification, to build one another up. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two, or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church, and let him speak to himself and to God. So, no worries. It didn't say that the prayer language, oh, wow, that's just lame, that shouldn't happen. It didn't say that, does it? It just says that, hey, you know, if someone had that in, let's say it was smaller group setting, let's say, they have this thing, they share something, but there's no interpreter, hey, I'll just, hey, praise God, that's awesome. But that's what I'll say. If I'm involved in kind of as an overseer, that's what I'd say. Hey, that's great, brother, sister. You know, you can keep praying, you know, in the spirit, but if you would, just kind of keep that more to yourself right now, because obviously we just don't have an interpretation for that right now. Now, a lot of times we'll just can that because, no, let's not do that because that makes everybody uncomfortable. It's better to not go that route, to just be honest. So when we have those kind of settings and those situations occur, I just would say that simply. It's not a problem. It's all okay. Everything's good. No one's done anything wrong. It's just a matter of we don't have interpretation. So that's that. So it says, and it gives actually, notice here, two or at the most three each in turn, not simultaneously. Because that starts getting confusing, right? So, two, maybe three, in a setting, so that we're not just focused on that. Why? Because there's other things that might be going on too. Let two or three prophets speak, and would you, if you would, just put a little asterisk, circle, mark, underline the last part of that, and it says in verse 29, and let the others judge. Because this gets kind of important when it says, and let the others judge. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. Okay, so we listen to some kind of a prophetic word, not necessarily just some future statement out there. That's not necessary, but something that's maybe exhortive or, you know, something that's challenging to the believers, a group. However that fits into that, those three that we talked about, that was to strengthen the body. Remember, we talked about that in verse three, edification, exhortation, comfort to men. So let's say it fits in one of those things. So it's kind of this word that's shared. You know, little children, follow the Lord with all your heart. Do not be deceived by the things transpiring around you today. Don't get distracted. Whatever that might be said, it might go something like that. I'm not saying that was that. I'm saying that was an example of what one might sound like. Just give you an example. Doesn't have to just sound like that, but let's say it did. Now, there would be those in the group that are familiar with this, mature believers, familiar with the work of the Spirit, that would be able to sit and just say, amen. If I was in that spot, now it wasn't me that said it then, okay? So someone else has said what I just kind of shared, and I was sitting here, and I believe that was from the Lord. It bore witness on my heart. It wasn't, it was scripturally fine. It wasn't weird and something. You know, somebody telling everybody, hey, go buy this stock or, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, we can't do that stuff, okay? That's the kind of stuff that gets weird. What I'm talking about is, let's say it's just something like that. And I would sit up here and say, well, you know, let's receive that. That I believe that was from the Lord. And let's pray on that individually. Let's let that settle for a moment and receive that from the Lord. I'm trying to give a simple illustration of how I see this, how it works when I'm involved in this kind of thing, or how I see the work of the Spirit in this kind of context, okay? God's Spirit works multiple ways. I'm just trying to give you an illustration of what Paul's discussing here in this situation. Let others judge. So the person that's speaking it isn't to judge, just have that discernment. This isn't judging in some bad word for judgment. This is like a discerning sense of the leading of God's Spirit in that setting. Okay? That's what this is, that's what the implication is here. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. So Someone else says, I don't know, it seems, I don't know. They, thinking through this, if anything is real to another who sits by it, let the first keep silent. This other person gets up, nothing's said, it's settled. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and that all may be encouraged. So as these things start coming out and someone else shares something, we can all have the ability to listen to those things and soak those things in. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And that's a great scripture, a good one to remember, that a lot of times people think, I couldn't help, I had to do this. I you know, they laid hands on me and then I just started rambling uncontrollably and all that. That doesn't happen. You see, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. It's not some weirdness thing that goes on. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And I think, what a great statement. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Everywhere where there is a body of believers, born again Christians, following the Lord, and God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Now, if we were having a Bible study like this, and we're teaching through the Word, we're going through, and the pastor's speaking, and then someone stands up and starts speaking in their in tongues. Let's say they have a prayer language, and they stand and speak. Well, somebody's interrupting somebody, right? Now, I've got to believe that God is not going to interrupt himself if God's choosing to move a certain way. And yet we see these kind of things going on. And where does the attention go? You know, all of a sudden we're distracted and we're sidetracked, focused on something that, you know, wasn't even intelligible at the situation. You can see how. And so now there's those, these are what I'm describing for you are the things that cause polarity and people just polarize against each other and they, oh, well, that's just not for today. And this is, oh, well, this should be just, we should just be, you know, crazily into this. And, you know, it just, man, we just need to find that peaceful mid-ground, not exterminating this, but letting God have his way and finding the right settings and the outworking of that so that we don't limit God. Can you imagine? Where would the true church of Jesus Christ be without the Spirit of God bringing guidance and direction? Where would we be? Hi, this is Pastor Jim. I know a lot of times as we listen to the Word, sometimes we really get convicted by God's Word. And you know, there's those times where we really need to repent and give our lives over to the Lord. The Bible, it says, for the wages of sin is death. You know, death is something, this destructive force, and it's this thing that, you know, our bodies are in this slow decay process. And you know, ultimately, we all are going to have a physical death. But spiritually, you don't have to die. We would die in our sin if not for the gift of God. And that's eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we want to receive that gift. We don't want to be paid the wages of our sin. We want to have everlasting life. And so you can pray this simple prayer of faith. If you've been, you know, listening and just hearing and just knowing that, man, God's tugging on your heart and you just know that there's something more to this life. Well, God wants to make himself real to you, just like he's done in my life as I was once troubled and struggling and distant from God, partying, trying to drown all my sorrows, as it were. But you know, the Lord is there and he loves you and wants to meet you right where you're at. Just pray this simple prayer along with me. It doesn't matter whether you're driving or out on a walk, just with your earbuds in, just in a place where you can listen on your computer, wherever you might be. If you're listening to this right now, you can pray this simple prayer and have everlasting life. Jesus, I want to ask that you'd forgive me of all my sin. I want to ask that you would come into my heart and be my personal Lord and Savior. I give my life to you. I don't want the wages of sin, which is death, but I want the gift of God, eternal life, in Christ Jesus, my Lord, now. I'm thankful, Lord, for your forgiveness, and I just ask that, Lord, as I start this new life. You'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, that my life might please you and bring you glory. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.